Hi, I'm Lee Costantino. I'm the fiction editor of the Stanford Storytelling Project. Welcome to our series of interviews with authors and artists.
Hi, my name is Lee Costantino, and I'm speaking with Suzanne Rebecca about her short story, It Sounds Like You're Feeling. I was wondering if you could talk about why you decided to go with the second person for your story.
Well, it wasn't really a premeditated choice. I just started writing it that way, which is mostly usually the way that I ease into a POV, is it just sort of felt right to start writing it that way. But In retrospect, I've been thinking about second person a lot lately, and I think there's a lot of ways that it can be taken. It can be taken as like an instructive voice, like sort of like how Laurie Moore does when with her parodies of self-help books, like you do this, you do that. Or it could be like the you is a substitute for an I. And the effect that I think I was trying to get at with this story, even if I was doing it subconsciously at first, was sort of a very nervous kind of internal narration of someone talking to themselves, almost. Like almost a self-soothing kind of narration. If you're walking home alone at night and it's dark and you're telling yourself, you're going to be all right, just keep going, you're doing this, you're doing that. So I intended to have that kind of nervous, fretful, very internalized, kind of isolated effect.
Successful.
Because she's pretty neurotic, to say the least.
It is interesting that despite the fact, I mean, one of the effects of saying you, you know, having the second person point of view is in a way you make your reader think of themselves, right?
They imagine
that they're being addressed.
Right.
The protagonist here has a sort of very concrete biography, you know, and is gendered. You know, it is a female protagonist.
Right.
You know, in a way, you're asking your reader to imagine themselves as the sort of early 20s.
Right. It's not a universal you at all.
Who has some very particular problems.
Right.
And related to her own sexual experience.
Right.
And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, the sort of dissociation, the sort of the politics of sexuality.
I mean, I sort of have a stump speech about this. I have a problem with a way the way that women's sexuality in particular is portrayed in a lot of contemporary fiction, even a lot of otherwise really excellent, extremely insightful fiction. And I think that there's a kind of universality that's assumed when male sexuality is discussed, and you're not really allowed to be grossed out by it. Like, for example, Updike or Philip Roth or any male who's writing about male sexual experience, you're a prude if you find that like gross. But with female sexual experience, writing about it, like not necessarily graphically, but just in the same kind of very, very candid way that male writers do, I think there's a lot of squeamishness out there toward it still. Not moral judgment necessarily, but a lot of, ew, I didn't want to know that, and ugh. Nobody wants to hear about those your lady parts. And I mean, I don't think I make a conscious effort to integrate some kind of sexual interlude into every story I write, but I think it just naturally arises because most of my stories have to do with relatively young women who are dealing with relationships or dealing with a lack of relationships, and their sexuality is naturally gonna factor into that as being either a problem or a solace or whatever.
I really love the particular image of one of your protagonists imagines a trained raptor leading his dog.
Yeah.
And the dog leading him.
Right.
And that sort of, I don't know.
Like a caravan.
Babushka doll.
Right.
A nested doll.
Mm-hmm.
Image. I wonder if you could talk about that image, maybe how you came on it, and maybe open it up to talking about technique at the level of style, you know,
mm-hmm.
like how do you texture your writing? Do you revise a lot? Do you do you just spontaneously come up with stuff?
Well, with that image in particular, that was a really late addition to the story. It was when I was trying to revise it to be read for this program, actually. In the original version, the main character was so, not just unlikable, but so misanthropic in a way that you couldn't even imagine her functioning in society, I don't think. I think she was just way over the top. But with that image, I was trying to underscore how Colin's physical vulnerability really rattles her, and how that indicates some kind of like deep-seated discomfort with her own vulnerability and with exposing it to him, and her thinking that she's going to burst into tears because she's imagining this replication of deteriorating blind creatures one after the other. They're almost giving birth to each other, and it makes her really sad, and she feels sorry for them, but it's like this self-perpetuating thing that can just keep hatching over and over again that can't be stopped. So I don't know. I think most of the crazy, weird, I have a fixation with nesting dolls too. I had one when I was a kid, and I think Russian nesting dolls pop up a lot in my stories as like bad metaphors, pretty much, like multi-layers and things giving birth to other things that are smaller versions of themselves, and that kind of, the Russian nesting doll thing crops up a lot. But in terms of texturizing, I find that when I first write a draft, it's almost all texture, basically. There's nothing but prickly texture, and there's no backbone of, like, plot and structure to it. Mm-hmm. Like, all the flowery, fanciful stuff always comes out in the first draft with me. And then the revising process is basically imbuing it with some sort of a backbone of continuity and cohesion. And I don't know, I think I do it completely backwards, because most people, I think, sketch out the bare bones of what happens in the story and then try and tease out the other elements that give it texture. I don't know, maybe they do, but I seem to do it the opposite way.
What were the stages of revision that the story went through?
I initially wrote it right when I was living in Minneapolis, and I had just graduated from the MFA program at the University of Minnesota, and I was living by myself for the first time in several years in the horrible, decrepit house that probably should have been condemned by the tenant board, and I was working a lot, and initially it was, the structure was pretty much the same. The guy was always blind, but the protagonist, as I said before, was much more almost caricature-like in how completely polar opposite she was to the principles of empathetic anything. The story pretty much stayed that way for a while. And also one of the earlier problems with it was that Colin was kind of fatuous in a way, and he had these stupid posters on his walls with these Buddhist sayings that were really trite and cliched, and he had this ridiculous book in his office, and the questions that he would ask her were questions along the lines of, so what do you think of romance in general? Or why don't you tell me your first memory? That sort of thing. And at the time, it came off like I was making fun of therapy or making fun of counseling, Colin ended up being just way too easy of a foil for this very sarcastic, self-aware, critical narrator to lampoon. So I think the revision process involved just giving him a lot more ambiguity, being more generous with him, and allowing him to have more dignity and presence of mind, and softening her a little bit.
What has your trajectory been as a writer?
Well, I've been writing ever since I was a kid, basically, but I never really started to do it with any sense of rigor and craft until I went into the MFA program at the University of Minnesota, which I first started when I was 25. And I think at that time, I hated revision. I wanted it to be like an instant process of alchemy where I could create some magic, pristine thing that on the first try that wouldn't need to be adulterated. And I believe that like spontaneity was everything and that revision would ruin it. And obviously that was beaten out of me during 3 years of an MFA program. But yeah, during those 3 years, I think I really sort of figured out what a story was. That it has to have a plot, that it can't just be a talking head, because my early stories were very much just like the isolated headspace of somebody who's babbling away about their inner thoughts, and that's it. And there were no other characters, and there was no surrounding action, there was no context, there was just like this voice that existed in a void. And I think that's a common thing with a lot of beginning writers is they want to give voice to what's in their head, but they do it too literally, and that's definitely what I did. And they don't give it a body, and they don't give it flesh. And so that's one thing that kind of evolved. And also, I started out, as soon as I started giving the people a body in my stories, I then went way over the top and made their bodies morph into, like, unicorns and gave them wings, and I went through this magical realist phase where...
literally giving them...
Right. Yeah.
Unicorns, okay.
Yeah, I was, like, trying to be Kafka for a couple years and writing very, very short pieces where that inevitably ended with someone, like, turning into a bear or something. After a while, it just wasn't really satisfying to me because I felt like I was writing the same story over and over because inevitably someone would turn into an animal or their skin would fall off or they'd be like a walking skeleton. And I started to realize that I was writing things that too closely resembled allegories and the symbolism was just insane and way too pointed. So I kind of made the transition to writing a little bit more autobiographically and to switching to writing things that were quite realist. But I went through the Stegner, I started in 2005.
Okay.
So I had actually, the last year of my MFA program was 2004, and by then I had started writing longer pieces that were more character-driven and that were more semi-autobiographical and sort of, I guess, more conventional stories, but it felt right to be writing those. It felt artificial to continue writing, like, kind of the experimental stuff I had been writing. So, yeah, during the Stegner program, I completed a draft of a collection of stories, most of which are pretty heavily autobiographical, more so than anything I've ever written previously.
And did you write these stories with sort of forethought toward collecting them together?
I didn't start a new story with the speculation of how is this going to fit into the collection and how is it going to play off of the others, but I think that a thread just ended up running naturally through them because of thematic similarities that they all had.
You've mentioned to me that you were working on a novel.
Yes.
What stage is that at, and how is that going?
the novel is about 40 pages long at this point, and I haven't touched it in a few months because I have no idea what I'm doing, and this was my first attempt at trying to write a novel, and it didn't occur to me what a completely different animal it is in every way from short fiction. Like, they're just different genres. And I think there's a conception that short stories are kind of like the training wheels for a novel, but I think that the two forms are so completely different that there's not really... I feel like I'm not graduating onto a novel. I'm just, like, diving into something that's completely alien to me. It's, like, even worse than trying to write poetry. So yeah, I'm struggling with the novel in terms of how do you pacing and how to reveal information, and because all the little tricks that I have as a short story writer, I think, revolve around miniaturizing things and zeroing in very closely on certain gestures, and everything's very gestural, and I'm struggling with how to make people perform actions that are a little more. That'll actually get the story moving in a way that'll sustain it for 200 pages and not have it end at, like, a climactic moment, which is how a lot of my stories end, with something, with, like, a door opening upon an appalling scene, and then, like, the lights go out. And you can't do that with a novel.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in, Suzanne.
Yeah, thank you for having me.